This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. The business station.
Good morning, 9:36 now. I'm David Chu together with
Lim Soon Heng.
Hey, this is Ringgit and Cents. What have you got for us today?
Well, David, let me lead into this. You know, I don't know if you've read this, but Asians are more inclined to go into business for themselves as opposed to being salaried people.
Everyone wants to be a loban.
What does that mean?
A loban? Boss lah.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if that's true, that we all want to be what? Loban. But the idea provokes the question. Have you thought about doing that yourself? I know you have some, you know, you do some things, but do you want to go into business for yourself and like not come to this radio station anymore?
I suppose so. Yeah, we've all had that inkling in us, to be our own boss.
But that's a leap, though, isn't it? I mean, from being a kind of a wage earner to do something different.
It's quite a leap of faith, actually, more than anything else, because you got to have trust and a lot of faith in yourself and what you can do. A lot of people are just not confident enough that they can go into it. Well, and so they always stay in the sidelines.
Yeah. It's a lot of emotional preparation required. Yeah. And more so when you have other commitments, you know, especially a family, and you have got to make sure that they kind of sometimes kind of, because of them, you don't want to jump into it. Yeah.
That's true. That's very
true. This week, Azura Rahman talks to a language teacher, Akiko, who wants to buy over the language center where she's been working for the last 13 years.
She must have been making hell a lot of money in order to be able to buy over the center that was... Okay.
She got some advice from Brenda Yong, a licensed financial planner. Hmm. And so between the two of them, they plan to take over this thing.
Sounds interesting. Let's hear the story.
Now, Akiko, just tell us a bit more about how long you've actually been a language teacher for.
I came here, I came to Malaysia since 13 years.
13 years already. Yes. And you've always been a language teacher during that whole time?
Yes.
Right, okay. And I suppose it's something that's been quite a comfortable job for you to be doing for 13 years?
Yes.
What made you want to go into business after being a wage earner for so long?
I was teaching Japanese language so long time. Mm-hmm. Then before that, I was satisfied at just teaching only. But after I was involved to managing job, then after that, I feel very interesting. Then now, I don't know why, but I feel I want to do everything by myself.
Obviously, before you wanted to start off being the owner of such a business, you might have some concerns. After being a wage earner for so long, what were some of the concerns that you had before you wanted to become a business owner?
Actually, the thinking to start, I want to be an owner, this one is not suddenly come out. The very, very naturally, little by little, come out to my heart. So I'm not very sure what is a strong emotion or what. But after I decided to do, then most... worries, how to plan the budget, how to think the financial way, because I'm not very strong for thinking about the money.
Right, and that's where Brenda comes in, obviously.
Yes, that's where I come in. Her concern was very specific towards the money part, and also more towards the money management of the company. So I explained to her, to be able to do well in business, you have to first of all manage your personal finance before looking to your business finance.
Right.
So we had a solid dialogue about her financial planning status, her personal wealth, before embarking to the business wealth. So if the personal financial matters are not in place, she can do very well in business, but she will have business wealth without the personal wealth.
In terms of personal finance that you said, what did you need to do to prepare yourself before deciding to go into business?
So one of the things you have to prepare, first of all, is your mental capacity, your emotional capacity, and of course, your financial capacity. We have to organize our personal finance in order. For example, what are the fixed costs we have, like rental, car installment, and things like that. We must have a minimum of 6 months to be able to pay off the fixed expenses before we have the right to consider and build our business wealth. Example, something happened, the heart attack comes upon because of stress or whatsoever. So that's a time where you have a lot of bills to pay and you can't work and spend time on your business.
Right.
So therefore, it's good to have X number of living cash ready
Just in case.
Just in case. Right. So when that area, the basic minimum is under, then you can quickly move into the business. And many a times, I would say 90% of Malaysian SMI and SME business owner do not know how to separate between business wealth and personal wealth.
Do you think it's necessary for someone to cut back on their personal expenses just because they're making that plunge into, you know, entrepreneurship?
Yes, if it's for the initial months. Well, for Akiko case, it's different. She has 13 years of experience and exposure in the same industry.
Right.
And she has a well-secure environment. So she would already understand what are the projected income, cash flow from the current business. So for her case, it's slightly different. From a new business owner venturing into a new business, that will be a very good discipline. Cut down the living expenses for a season of time to buy some time for you to build your business well.
What would you say is a healthy proportion of your savings that you should invest into a business? Now, Akiko has been doing this for 13 years. What is a healthy proportion of her savings that she should invest into this business?
Now, in order to look at that, first of all, you have to look at the business in nature.
Right.
Now, Akiko-san's business is about teaching. So the biggest skills that she has is actually teaching. She is the capital of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And the little capital that is required is a building or rental room or whatsoever. So the most important components that she has to look at is how to maintain her skills to be the top, to the best teacher in town. And the second one is to make sure she have a nice office, a teaching room where people can come and have a nice session, you know. Her business model required not a lot of cash, but very good set of teachers like herself and a team of them. So her cost management is more towards human capital development,
right,
and human capital management.
Right.
So based on her business model, so you look at the teacher salary and what is a grade A teacher, grade B teacher and grade C teacher. Now, in order to build a business to be the best, you need to look at B, grade B and grade C teacher. And grade B and grade C will require X number of salary and X number of months backup for the salary, and that will be the capital that she need to have, and then you work backwards. When you work backwards, then you know that's an X number that you require. Let's say 500,000,
right,
example.
Right.
So 500,000 is to her, that's the cost of a dream. Now she has 6 months to prepare. Now how to get the 500,000 to achieve that dream? Now 500,000 can be achieved from different sources, and how do we get hold of those sources?
Doesn't mean that you don't have that money, you know, that your dream is over.
Yes, that's why licensed advisors are a very exciting job. We help them dream together.
You know, you hear of so many people going into business, they go without pay for 2 months, 3 months, and but their personal expenses are still running, and many people believe that this is the only way to do business, but that's not right, is it?
Yes, yes. There are other ways to secure your cash flow in the business. Example, there are business loans that you can consider. And there are also friends, venture capitalists, friends loan, family loans, mm-hmm, and even a short-term partnership with your employees.
Right.
For example, many of the employees are very good teachers. They aspire to be a business owner someday. So if they do want to be part of the family but do not have the 500,000, then we can work on a smaller unit, a component for them. This will retain good talents. At the same time, we can reduce the borrowing. At the same time, together with a big family,
mm-hmm,
you can take on this industry to the next level. So there are many ways to organize the 500,000. It's not just a bank loan or sell your house and your car. You know, there are many ways to do so.
We have Akiko, and she's a language teacher and a wage earner who's hoping to become an entrepreneur by buying the language center where she works at. And she's being advised by Brenda Yong, Managing Director from KP Financial Group Standard Financial Planning, Sendirian Berhad. And right after this, we'll be speaking about how to conduct a due diligence on a business that you're hoping to buy into. This is Azra Rahman on Ringgit and Cents, BFM 89.9.
Busy finding money, BFM 89.9.
It's Azura Rahman on Ringgit and Sense, and here with me is Akiko, and she's a language teacher, and she is being advised by Brenda Yong, Managing Director from KP Financial Group Standard Financial Planning, Sendirian Berhad. And Akiko is considering a switch from being a wage earner to becoming an entrepreneur. In this case, how did you help in terms of preparing for the due diligence to know whether the business is worth venturing into?
Yes. So we will take Akiko's current business books back home, look into the actual accounting processes and the balance sheet and so on, understand how this business works and what are the key costs that she has to carry from the business.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, we will give her a perspective how much this business is valued. And in order, if she wants to buy it as value A, value B and value C, which is over budget, and which is very cheap and which is a fair figure. Mm-hmm. So now she has a very clear understanding what is the right value to buy over on this particular business.
Right, because to have three different valuations, it means that you have three different ways of running the business at the same time as well?
There's a phase two. No, phase one is looking at the cost and the value, the worth of the business.
Right. Mm.
Second is how you expand the business, because every room in the teaching environment can be utilized 8 hours a day or 5 hours a day.
Okay.
So you also look into the capacity of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you need $500,000 to build it, if you maximize the room, all the rooms, 8 hours a day, what will be the potential income? So as an advisor, we also look into the cost and the potential income.
Okay.
And come up with an equilibrium methodology so that this business will be able to sustain for a longer period or even break through from this level.
Okay, now Akiko, what were some of the less obvious pitfalls that you might have overlooked that Brenda had helped you with?
She helped me how to negotiate with my current boss, or how to protect myself.
Right. Negotiation, that's something that's quite interesting, Brenda. That's something that people probably don't normally consider when they want to go into business.
Yeah.
How did you help Akiko with that point then?
That part is not the responsibility of a licensed advisor. But because Akiko and myself, we are good friends.
Right.
At the same time, client friends, everything. There are certain areas that she need to be aware of because of many years of experience that I have dealing with SMI and SME bosses. I already know some of the negotiation skills and what are the potential loopholes. There are particular areas that they may come in with this kind of offer. And this offer may not be a win-win.
Right.
It could be a loose win.
Right.
So do take note if this offer is in place upon you, this could be a win-lose condition. For example, let's say Akiko do not know each other, and
right.
she has just offered to buy over from the particular owner, and based on the rough book valuation, the owner would have said, I have built this over a number of years, my capital is worth X dollars and I like to sell it as XY dollar. But if you look, after she has met up with us, we have discussed XY dollar is too overbought, it's too expensive. Therefore, XY is too expensive. Let's offer Y to him, you know?
That, I see.
Or, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we give her a very clear perspective. Is that particular offer comes is XY. This business is actually worth Y.
Mm-hmm.
So do not offer more than Y.
Mm-hmm.
Or offer Y minus Z, yeah? That is buying at a very fair valuation. So we give her solid parameters before she start negotiating.
Now, there's always the fear of losing it all, though, Brenda. Is there any way to know when one should cut their losses and just sell the business and go back to becoming a wage earner, unfortunately?
Yeah, before a person decides to conclude a business, it's very important to have a fair valuation.
Right.
Get other expertise. Let's say, for example, talking about restaurant, if the food is not right, why not change this restaurant into a different location and you can see the business fly?
Right.
So therefore, third-party perspective is very, very crucial.
Right, which is where you come in, obviously.
Yes, my expertise is more on financial and business management and organizing related to money related mostly. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But you need a special guy who know how to eat, you know, to come in to say, hey, actually your food is good, but it's just that the coffee does not match with the food. That's
right.
Why you killed your food. You need a specialty into that area as well.
Mm-hmm. The great thing in Malaysia is that everyone has an opinion on food, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, in this case though, has the owner accepted Akiko's offer?
Not yet.
Not yet. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is the reason behind that?
Maybe he really likes this company.
Right.
So then I think maybe he's thinking this company has bright futures.
So you're still negotiating with the owner,
still.
Right? Where's that left Akiko then, Brenda? What's your position on that now?
We already anticipated the possibility of this scenario. So we
right.
have contingency plan 2 and 3.
Okay.
So now, of course, negotiation, you buy a company, you cannot say today you offer, tomorrow conclude.
Right.
You need time for preparation. And during this negotiation period, it's also very essential for Akiko-san to prepare her mental, her emotion and her financial as well.
Okay.
So it's a good breeding of time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So she has time to organize her personal wealth. At the same time, walk this journey as a business entrepreneur.
And that was Akiko, a language teacher and a possible future language centre owner. And she was advised by Brenda Yong, Managing Director from KP Financial Group Standard Financial Planning, Sundaram Berhad.
You know what I got from that interview is that probably with careful planning, Suning, your personal finance matters could actually remain intact. despite you going into business?
Well, it's all about planning, like anything else. But I think more so for Akiko is the emotional preparation.
That's
like the, as we were saying earlier, you know, from going from wage earner to business owner, it takes quite a lot.
But at least she's got Brenda to help her out with that.
Yes.
So that also helps a lot, honestly. Otherwise, going in blind, it's not going to be easy. But the deal has not been closed yet, isn't it?
Not. So that gives her more time to kind of put all her finances in better order.
Okay, we'll let you know what happens when she closes the deal, yeah, or not.
And today's financial fast fact is lockup period. So the company that you work for is going public and you've been rewarded handsomely with shares in its initial public offering. Now you think you're in the money, but then you are told that you can't sell your shares due to what is called a lockup period. A lockup period is the time during which you can't sell an investment that you own. Now, you may come across a lockup period if you acquire shares in an initial public offering because you had a private equity investment in the company before it went public and received shares in the IPO proportionate to your private equity ownership interest. You could also encounter a lockup period if you are an owner or an employee of the company and are granted shares. Now, in Malaysia, the lockup period may last between 90 to 180 days, but once it ends, you are free to sell all your shares if you wish.
Okay, that's about it for the show today. Tomorrow, Sunik, what have you got for us on the property show?
Well, on the property show, we have Mr. Lim Lien Hong of Rainhorn, who is a valuer.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about valuation and how that's done so that people have a better understanding
it's
that it's...
always a very iffy kind of thing, isn't it? Yeah.
But we'll have to find out.
That's tomorrow morning after the 9:30 a.m. news. So make sure you join me and also Lim Soon Heng for the property show. However, today, Ringgit and Cents comes to a close.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.